We begin in Chapel Hill, where five town council members recently submitted a petition for the town to move forward on the future of a 36-acre plot of land on Legion Road that the town purchased after the American Legion moved. It's a topic that's got a lot of folks talking. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell has the latest.
Council members Camille Berry, Ty Wynn, Paris Miller-Fouché, Michael Parker, and Karen Stegman submitted a petition for town staff to begin developing a plan to use the Legion Road land, examining the possibility of selling part of the property to use for affordable housing or retail space. Since the town bought the land for roughly $8 million in 2017, town staff say the value has risen significantly. During Wednesday's work session, the council members heard updates from the Parks and Recreation Department about the need for several high-priority repairs at their other parks. Councilmember Parker pointed to the Legion Road land as a possible resource to help get funding for such projects across Chapel Hill, as well as fund maintenance for a future park on that same site.
But not only does it give us a good leg up on developing what I hope will be a world-class park, but the tax revenues that will be generated can actually allow us to maintain the park, something that we clearly, as we learned earlier tonight, have been struggling to do.
While town staff presented a concept design of how property could be divided and sold, council members focused their discussions more on the timeline proposed in the petition and how much land to preserve as a park. Jess Anderson said she feels like prioritizing a solution by 2023 comes across as, quote, more political than it is practical. She pointed to a housing initiative Chapel Hill is completing in partnership with UNC as a reason to hold off on determining the future of the town-owned site.
And so I guess it's perplexing to me why this would be put to the side of that initiative, that when one of the core tenets of that initiative is that everything is on the table. Not having this be part of how we overall solve problems around housing and needed amenities and all those things just makes no sense to me, especially since we're doing it. I mean, the work is happening.
Paris Miller-Fouché pushed back against the suggestion that her support for progress with the site is political in nature. She said, based on her conversations with community members, she sees the land as a critical opportunity for Chapel Hill to build more affordable communities in an area prioritizing public transit and walkability.
You know, the reality on the ground is that community members who are struggling to meet their basic needs don't have the privilege to see the American Legion Road property framed in zero-sum terms. And what I'm excited about is the potential to build an inclusive community where people of all abilities and socioeconomic status can participate and thrive.
After purchasing the land, the town of Chapel Hill commissioned a task force to study the American Legion property and gather preferences for the future of a park. A public survey returned diverse answers on potential amenities, but largely supported the creation of a community gathering space. The petition by the five town council members stirred up significant community attention, with member Amy Ryan acknowledging the depth of feedback she's received in recent weeks.
I know everybody is very concerned about this issue and people come at it from a lot of different perspectives, but I just wanted for us to not fall into the trap of pitting housing against parks and open space. Both are good for our community and we need both for a healthy town. So, and I think that this council really appreciates that and understands it and will think thoughtfully about those issues.
Since the town council held a work session, there were no votes on Wednesday night. Town staff will likely take the elected officials' feedback and begin to construct a plan for the fall, with options to sell some of the Legion Road property or use it all as parkland. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Over to Raleigh now, where the NNO reports the state Supreme Court has set August 29th as the date to hear still more arguments in the long-running Leandro case over the state's constitutional obligation to provide all students with access to a sound basic education. Democratic and Republican judges alike have ruled that the state is nearly $1 billion short of meeting that obligation, but there's a dispute over whether the courts can order lawmakers to allocate the funds. Also in Raleigh, a busy week continues in the General Assembly. Yesterday, the state Senate voted 44-1 in favor of a bill that would expand Medicaid to 600,000 North Carolinians. Long a Democratic priority, Medicaid expansion finally won Republican support in the Senate this year, but now the bill heads to the House, where Republican opposition remains much stronger. Also yesterday, the Senate voted 35-10 in favor of a bill that would legalize medical marijuana in North Carolina. The Senate still needs to take one more vote on Monday before that goes to the House, where, again, there's stronger opposition. opposition. Speaking of the state house, lawmakers there are beginning to move on a bipartisan bill that would address so-called forever chemicals in public water supplies and hold companies on the hook financially for cleanup costs if they dump those chemicals into the water. And of course, we're continuing to watch HB 755. That's the so-called parents' rights bill that's drawn fire for several anti-LGBTQ provisions, including one that would ban discussion of sexual orientation and gender identity in early grades, and another that could force schools to out students to their parents against their will. Numerous local residents are speaking out against that bill, including Carborough Mayor Damon Siles, who had this to say yesterday to 97.9 The Hill.
For the General Assembly to bring this bill to a vote on the first day of Pride Month, I think that tells us pretty much all we need to know about what their intentions are here, about what they mean by this legislation. And it is mean legislation when it comes down to it. It talks about, you know, sexual orientation and gender identity being prohibited from being in early grade level curriculum. That is not a thing that happens in the real world. This is legislation that is not actually going to change anything other than further stigmatize LGBTQ young people. And that causes harm to people. People are hurt emotionally, physically. People die because of legislation like this, because vulnerable groups are stigmatized more than they already have been. So it's really pretty unacceptable. We know, of course, this is right out of the Republican General Assembly playbook. We know that this has nothing to do with the substance of the bill that they've passed in the General Assembly yesterday, in the Senate, I believe it was. It has everything to do with politics. They are gearing up for the November general elections, and they are looking to, you know, reignite a ridiculous culture war around LGBTQ people. And unfortunately, this year, the legislation is putting LGBTQ young people, kids, in the spotlight, which is just really shameful.
That's Carborough Mayor Damon Siles speaking there. That bill has passed the Senate and is now in the House, but faces a likely governor's veto if it gets that far. Meanwhile, in Alamance County, the NNO is reporting a settlement has been reached in a lawsuit over how police in Graham responded to a peaceful protest in the fall of 2020. On Halloween of that year, police pepper sprayed a group of demonstrators who were marching to the polls for early voting, leaving multiple injuries. NNO reports the agreement includes a total payout of more than $300,000, but police will not be required to change any of their practices as plaintiffs had originally wanted. Speaking of police practices, ABC 11 is reporting only 6.5% of law enforcement agencies in North Carolina have reported information about use of force incidents to the FBI this year. Nationwide, that number is closer to 40%. Finally, congratulations once again to the students at UNC's Hussman School of Journalism and Media. UNC just won the national championship from the Hearst Journalism Awards for the 7th time in the last 8 years. Individual national championships also went to 4 Carolina students: Maddie Ellis in writing, Angelina Katsanis in photojournalism, Lucas Pruitt in multimedia, and Jada Williams in audio. Get more local news on our website, chapelboro.com, including a listen back at last night's Live and Local on 97.9 The Hill, with a live performance here in the studio by Dave Hedeman and the Gone Ghosts. The time is 6:20. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Ole Miss Jewelers. NCAA tournament action begins today in Chapel Hill for the Tar Heel baseball team, hoping to extend a Cinderella run that's already garnered them the ACC championship. As the top seed in their region, UNC is hosting a 4-team double elimination regional this weekend at Bosch Emmer Stadium, beginning today at 2 p.m. with Carolina taking on 4-seed Hofstra. Georgia and VCU take the field tonight at 7. Those are the other two teams in the regional, and then the winners and losers from today will face each other tomorrow as the regional continues. We'll have all of Carolina's games for you right here on 97.9 The Hill, beginning today at 2. If you're heading to the games, free parking will be available in the Craig Deck starting at 5 today. You can park for free in the Bowles lot, the Raleigh Road visitors lot, and on Stadium Drive, parking free there all weekend. And for $10, you can get a little bit closer and park in the Rams Head Deck. Chapel Hill Transit is warning riders to expect some possible service delays with the regional ongoing, and Ridge Road will be closed to through traffic for the weekend. That's right there by the Bosch. Also in baseball, another win last night for the Durham Bulls, 9-7 over Nashville. They're back in action tonight at home. First pitch set for 6:35. And back in Chapel Hill, individual honors are in for a Tar Heel men's golfer. Freshman David Ford, just named as one of five members of the National All-Freshman Team by the Golf Coaches Association of America. Ford earned All-America honors by finishing tied for fifth in the NCAA Championships last weekend. Get more sports on our website, chapelboro.com, including a new column from David Glenn with his analysis of the latest in the world of college basketball.